You know, we just had such a blessed time there at the Beaumont Conference. You know, all those preachers gather from across the world, many nations, a lot from across America. And just to hear the Spirit of God speak, just men of God standing in the pulpit, bringing the Word of God. And I'm telling you, we met with God in those altars. We heard from God over this past week. What a blessed thing. In this hour, when there's such a move away from that which is written so clearly in this book. And believe me, church, there is a movement. And it is very broad, very wide, and across the nations of the world and the church today. And it's a move. It's not a move of God, not a move of the Spirit of God. It's another Christ, another Spirit, and another gospel. And in that gospel, the messengers who come, they don't preach the Word of God anymore. They don't preach Christ anymore. They don't preach truth anymore. They don't preach the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. They don't come preaching that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and on the third day rose again. And yet that is the gospel that was handed down from the apostles, every generation, every nation, right down to our hour. And I'm tired, this is an hour where the ears are being turned to another gospel, since we must stand and fight a good fight. Christ is coming. This is the last hour. There's a generation that has never heard this gospel. Let us strengthen ourselves, put on might, be filled with the Spirit of God, and let's run this race. We've got a short time. Other generations have come and gone. They faithfully, that word faithful, you find it all through Scripture. I heard that preacher that I spoke much of the other Wednesday night, and I will continue to as an example of the darkness that has come into the church. I'm telling you, that man mocked. He said, God isn't asking in this hour, are you faithful? And immediately Scriptures come to me. My Bible says, who can find a faithful man? My Bible says that because God knows He's going to bring judgment in a nation, in a certain time He removes the faithful man. My Bible all through commends faithful men and women. And yet we have preachers mocking, condemning, making light of people who stand faithful in this hour. I tell you, heaven this morning bears witness unto a people who remain faithful to this book, faithful to Christ, faithful in prayer, faithful encouraging one another and fellowshipping together. My Bible tells me the Spirit of God bears witness to such. My God delights in such and commends such. We must be steadfast, not listening to that which tickles the ears, but that which will again proclaim Jesus Christ, crucified for sinners, buried and risen again. You know, I've never been one for preaching on Christmas or resurrection or for special seasons. Never done it once in my life. It's not something I'm prone to or have any leading to. But see, the past 10 days, God has opened up something just to my heart concerning this resurrection. And I thank God this morning. We do remember there is a resurrection. There was a resurrection. And the manifestation of that is here in the midst of us. I heard a story. You can correct me if I'm wrong in quoting it exactly. But it was concerning George Washington during that revolution, the early stages of it, the early months, year of it. And I've heard tell that the battle was against them, the warfare was against them. Many had fallen. The army was discouraged. The army was battered. There was much despondency in the ranks. There were just a scattered remnant. And as they were there, the rumor came through that Washington, the great leader, the great man at their helm, who had led the way and making a stand, he was dead. He was gone. Can you imagine the despondency that comes into the heart of an army that has been stirred, encouraged, and led forth to warfare, and yet their great leader has fallen in the battle? No more Washington to lift his voice, to blow the trumpet, and say, let's stand for liberty and for freedom. They heard the rumor. I'm telling you, a rumor like that, it'll spread in the ranks. You can be sure that which is good doesn't spread too well, too fast. You have to fight to spread something good. But that which is going to bring discouragement, it'll flow through the ranks of the army. But do you know what what happened? Washington, it came to his ears. It's been rumored across the ranks that you're dead. The men are being discouraged. They're starting to move back to their homes. They're throwing up their hands and saying, what is the point? Do you know what he done? He got on that white steed. I'm sure it was a white horse. It always seems to be a white horse with these things. And I know my Christ, he is coming again. And it is going to be a white horse. That's what my Bible says. So if it was good enough for Christ, I'm sure Washington as well. But he got upon that steed of his. And we are told that he rode out. He didn't say a word. He didn't need to say. And one appearance of that man riding on his steed, riding at great speed through the camp, through the scattering host. Do you know what it done? It put heart in them again. They said, Washington isn't dead. That man that led us forth to the battle isn't dead. He's here in the midst of us. And their heart rose up. They gathered again. And they made their stand. And the rest is history, as you well know, in this nation of America. But I tell you, how great is that truth that our Christ isn't dead. The army at times might seem like it's scattering. At times we might be downhearted. At times things come upon us and we're confounded in our hearts and our minds. But one glimpse of Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father, one sounding of his voice in the ranks, one riding of him through the midst of us this morning. And I tell you, let hell disperse in the midst of it. Let discouragement be cast aside. Let the weight and the burdens of temptation and trial be set aside as once more this morning, we behold the King of glory. Oh, stand with me. We're just going to ask simply that this risen Christ, not a dead Christ, not a historic Christ, but the one that was risen on that third day would meet with us. Saints, I don't know your heart. I don't know all your trials, all your troubles, but I do know a Christ that can meet with us in these aisles this morning. He can meet with you in this altar this morning and encourage you and speak to you and reveal himself afresh. All you need to do, I don't know what your trial and your troubles are, but this one thing I do know, all you need to do is behold him and see him afresh this morning. All you need to do is hear his voice resounding in our midst, and all shall be well. Father, we're just grateful, my God, that you are risen from the dead. We don't serve an idol. We don't serve a concept that's being preached. We serve the Lamb of God that saved us and delivered us. We know that you're risen. And right this morning as we gather here as a church, you're seated at the right hand of the Father with all power, with all glory. You have in every generation to the cry of your people, you've reached forth and you've saved sinners. You've reached forth your hand and you've healed the sick bodies. You have come to us in this room and you have encouraged us many times. It's not a dead Christ that we're serving, but we are a testimony unto the resurrection of Christ. We are witnesses in this room, and this morning we stand as those witnesses against hell that you are risen from the dead, that our Christ lives within us and he shall come to reign upon the earth. Lord God, we just ask this morning for the opening of our eyes afresh, for the opening of our ears to hear your voice, and for a heart that shall perceive and understand the things concerning your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's be seated and turn with me. I want to go to a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians 15. But first, Daniel chapter 12. I'm just going to read quickly just a couple of scriptures. Daniel 12, we're heading for 1 Corinthians 15, so if you want to meet me there, go ahead of me. But Daniel 12, verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in that book. Is your name written in that book this morning? Verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever. Then in John chapter 5, John chapter 5, verse 28. And this is Christ speaking. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. What a certainty. In the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. There is going to be a voice that resounds. No power of hell is going to stop that voice on that day. And it says in verse 29, the consequence of that voice. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And then 1 Corinthians 15. verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for sinners, for sins, according to the scriptures. Note that this morning. According to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day. According to the scriptures. Again, note that. And that he was seen of Cephas, or of Peter. Then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren. At once. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. And just down there to verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. And I want to take a statement this morning just for my message. And Paul says it there. If Christ be not raised. That is my message. If Christ be not raised. And I want to take you just for a moment. Just like that momentary moment. When Washington's army. It came to them. Washington is dead. What if the man be dead? And we must scatter to our homes. Well, Paul faced the Corinthian churches. He wrote to them. Under the unction of the Spirit of God. And this is a statement he said to them. Very scriptural statement. He says, if Christ be not raised, and I want to lay it before you, saints, see, if Christ never was raised, I want to take you on a journey. I want to show you what things would be both this morning and down 2,000 years of history. As we look back, I want to show you what would have happened. I want to take you to individual lives. I want to take you to that early church that was there in Jerusalem and Judea and those other surrounding nations. I'll show you what it was like if Christ would have remained in that grave. I'll show you what it was like if all it was that rumor that spread through the ranks that somebody had come and taken his body, stolen it, and had carried it away. If that's all it is, our faith is vain. Just show you here, Paul's speaking here in Corinthians 15. He says, if Christ be not raised, look at verse 13. It says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. See, if there's no resurrection, if Christ didn't rise up, you can't speak to him. There's no Christ here this morning to meet with you. You've walked along the way and Christ was nothing but a thought in your mind. If Christ be not risen, he's dead. He doesn't exist. There is no Christ. How final, saints of God. The second thing, and you see it there in verse 14, he says, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. If Christ be not risen, our preaching is in vain. I'm preaching in vain this morning. If this Christ isn't alive, every message, all the labor you preachers here, every time you've got behind this desk, you're preaching of yourself, your message is of yourself, it's in your own power, and there's no Christ to bear witness. Your preaching's vain. Your message is empty. And you that have believed in this Christ through the preaching of truth, you know what? Your faith is vain. It's all for nothing. Your fight of faith is for nothing. You've fought temptation for nothing. Standing in the battle, it was all for nothing. Your walk with God, it was all for nothing. It was in vain. It's empty. This is the consequence of Christ not being risen. The third thing Paul says there, verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. This is the apostles. Those apostles, those leaders, Peter, James, John, Paul, Timothy, all of them write down. They're liars. That's the consequence. If Christ be not raised, these men have lied to us. They've written scripture. They've proclaimed their message. They're liars. They never had truth in them. They're willing to take these things and connive a lie that's deceived multitudes. They're liars. If this Christ be not risen, walking in our midst here, our gospel is in vain, saints of God. And fourthly, you see it in verse 18. He says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Would never see Mr. George again. That last time I was here, I went to that home. I think I said to Candace, I said, there's a very good chance last time I'll see him. Always love coming here, seeing him. It's always a blessing. He always said, tell us about the Holy Goose. For those who don't know, he seemed to think I called the Holy Goose the Holy Goose with my nice accent. But see, as I was in that house with him, I went, Mr. George, I'm going to see you again. And I wanted to say my goodbyes. Not goodbye, I'll never see you again, but good night. I'll see you in the morning. Saints of God, how many beloved ones who have died in Christ? I've got a father who died in Christ. I've got grandparents who died in Christ. I've got great grandparents who died in Christ. I've got friends in their 20s who died in Christ. And I know what it is to sorrow. I know what it is to grieve. But I know what it is to stand. I'm not without hope. I'm going, I'll see you very soon. But do you know what? If Jesus Christ be not risen, it's all in vain. They're perished. They're gone and we shall never see them again. The word resurrection, it means arising from the dead, an awakening from the sleep of death. And scripture talks about this. Just as we read there before, according to the scripture, he did rise. Everything is according to the scripture. Do you know, Paul writing to Timothy says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. The gospel I preach, I have a Christ that rose from the dead. The gospel that I preach, he is alive. There is a hope. He's coming walking in the midst of us. And one day we are going to behold him, the risen Lamb of God. He isn't dead in a grave. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy. This is the gospel that I was given. Again, it says in Acts, as Paul was preaching, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scripture. See, preachers today, they aren't coming with the word of God anymore. They don't even know how to show the resurrection out of the Bible. I've sat in front of preachers acclaimed, saying they've seen multitudes saved, saying they've done great wonders, and they can't even put Christ on their lips. Paul said, let any such man be accursed, and yet we tolerate it. We condone it. A man comes with jokes and foolishness and wise stories and traditions of men, and we buy their books. Saints of God, when is the real church going to wake up? These men say they know Christ and they walk in the power of Christ, and yet they won't even go to scripture. It's a token thing with them. Any man that does not speak according to this book, and believe me, I expect you to judge me according to this book. I expect you to test what I say according to this book. I'm not inhibited about that. I'm not all here staggering in insecurity because you're going to test me. I would challenge you. If you don't test me with this book, you're not a wise man or woman. Let all things be tested by this book. That's how it used to be in the church. That's how it used to be when I was a kid. But it says Paul reasoned out of the scripture 3 days. And opening and alleging. He opened unto them out of the scripture. Not out of his thinking or just some experience. And he did testify what Christ had done. But he said he opened out of the scripture. He alleged to these men and women that Christ must needs have suffered. And remember, he only had the Old Testament. And risen again from the dead. And that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Where did he go for his message? He went to the Word of God. The Word of God has a revelation that this Christ is alive and walking in our midst. Don't lean on your own feelings, your own thoughts, your own doubts and your own fears. I'm telling you, come to scripture and settle every argument. I'm telling you, if you have a doubt about this resurrection, open up Holy Scripture and say, oh God, speak to me. You show me and you settle every doubt, because I tell you, my Christ is here. I don't feel him. I do not see him with my ear. I don't get a tingle down my back this morning. I have had tingles. But I'm telling you, God help us if we lean on that. Because you'll wake up tomorrow morning, there'll be no tingling back. My faith alone leans and rests on the truth of God's word. Can't change, saints of God. Can't change. Do you remember what Peter wrote in his epistle, his second epistle, chapter 1? And he reminds him and he says, on the mount, that time when Christ took me and John and James took the three of them onto that mount. And you know, Christ appeared to them in his glorified state. They caught a glimpse of that which is to come. A Christ risen, glorified with the majesty of heaven. They caught a glimpse of him. And you know what Peter says? He says, we heard the voice of the Father audibly from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And we've seen the glory and majesty of God. We've seen it with our eyes. We heard with our ears. And he says, all this glory on the mount, we've seen and beheld. We experienced it. Look what we experienced. But listen to what he writes next. Just listen to this verse. He says, we have also, after he says it, he says, and this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount, God made that mountain holy. It was a natural mount, but they met with God. And it says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts. You know what he's saying? God has given us a more sure word of prophecy, written scripture. Any man that will challenge leaning on some religious book, I'm telling you, they don't know what they're talking about. These are the words of life that Christ gave unto us. God has given us a more sure word of prophecy to encourage our hearts and strengthen us, to guide us, to instruct us, to rebuke us, to edify us, until the day star arises and he does come for us. And we behold the word of God, the Son of the living God, with our eyes and hear him with our ears. It's a more sure word of prophecy. You know, in Christ's day, all through those early stages of the church, there was a group called the Sadducees, and I know I've often heard the joke, they're called Sadducees because they're Sadducee. No resurrection, no hope, no life, no reality, no Christ risen from the grave. Those Sadducees, what they said is, there is no resurrection. And we are getting preachers coming today. They not only don't believe all that we believe, they will preach against it. They come with a boldness. And we do need a people that know the reality of this resurrection, that know the power of this gospel. When a man comes land of you, say, oh no, I don't know all the arguments and the debates, but I'm just walking with Christ. I just love him. And you are a liar, sir. You are a liar, madam. I ain't gonna believe what you're saying. That's the power of this gospel. Those Sadducees contended against truth. You know, when Christ raised Lazarus from a grave, what a miracle, 4 days in that grave. And Christ went forth and his voice sounded and he said, Lazarus, come forth. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I'm not a teaching. I am the resurrection and the life. In me is life. I am the one that raises up from the grave. All power has been given unto me over death. There's nothing as strong as death. That's what the Song of Solomon says. I'm telling you, when a man goes into the grave, he isn't going to open his mouth again. His eyes are shut. His heart has stopped beating. It's death. Death is strong. Death is very final. Death is absolute. But not to the saints of God. It's a temporary thing. Thank God we do have a hope, saints. You know, Paul again writing to Timothy, and listen to this carefully. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. How do you do that? Rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane, or avoid profane and vain babblings. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. This is Paul giving young Timothy a warning. Paul had been through the warfare. He's warning young Timothy, a young preacher. He says, you take heed of me. You do well to listen. I ain't speaking off the top of my head. I know the reality of this warfare. I know there's a warfare against the life of this resurrection being seen in the church through weak chosen vessels. And he goes on to say there, and their word will eat as does a canker or a gangrene. He said, there's men coming preaching and the words they speak and their teachings and their message, it's like a gangrene. It'll eat away at your flesh. That's what it does in the church, the body of Christ. I'm telling you, there's some men, if we don't rise up and cast them forth, they're like a gangrene killing. And I'm telling you, see a part of that body, an arm or a leg, and a gangrene comes into that body and starts eating away in that leg, that leg's going to drop off. All life to that leg, it's going to get cut off. I have seen it in the church. I've seen people come with teachings. I've seen people come with gossip. I've seen people come with anger. I've seen people come with lies. And it starts to eat off. And before long, you see a member falling off. They fall right out that back door. We're not playing games, saints of God. You must know this book. And I don't mean academically. I don't mean educationally. I was a child that had dyslexia. I couldn't tell the difference between a B and a D. I knew this word. It was hidden in my heart. I used to sit in meetings and I seen things and I went, that isn't Christ. Just a kid. See some of these Christ or some of these kids that are running about. They've got a whole lot more insight and wisdom than some of you older ones. Do you know why? Because the word of God's in their heart. They might not educationally be able to quote scripture. They might not be able to put forth arguments, but they have felt and come to know this Christ. They know it's His glory to know Him. Their young hearts hunger. And as he writes them, he says, these men who come, their word will eat, as does a canker or a gangrene, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred or veered off or gone off track, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Here were men. They were calling themselves preachers. They come into the church and they're saying the resurrection's past. Oh, we believe in the resurrection, all right, but it is past. They were splitting that word up. They're coming with error, false teaching, and they overthrew the faith of some. There was believers stumbling. People who are walking along okay and they suddenly begin to stumble because of what they hear with the ear. You best be careful what you receive, saints of God. You best be careful to hold fast unto the truth, not written in Holy Scripture. We do have a more sure word of prophecy. I don't need to know all things or understand all things, but I know this book, I know this Christ, and His word is hidden in my heart. I'm going to walk through hellish battles. I'm going to walk through false prophets. I'm going to walk through great trials and misunderstandings, but this word is going to lead me until that day when I behold Him risen from a grave. What a day, saints of God. What a day when we shall see Him as He truly is. Let's go to that early church. If Christ be not raised, let's look at that church without a risen Christ. First of all, Mary Magdalene. Now we all know about Mary Magdalene. It says in Mark 16 that when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He cast seven devils. This was the woman bound by Satan. The hand of Satan had bound her. There was no hope for her. But one called Christ came walking, who brought deliverance and salvation. I'm telling you, that woman was smitten by the glory of Christ. Her heart was filled with rejoicing and goodness. I don't read much about Mary Magdalene, but I see a woman following Christ that's so overawed. She can never forget Christ delivered her. She can never forget where she came from. Saints of God, we'd have a whole lot less battles if we had only remember where it is that He brought us up from. We remember that day when He came to you and He dug you out of the pit, out of the miry clay, and He put your feet upon a rock to stand. He put a song in your heart that you might rejoice in the God of your salvation. Remember where He brought you from. How much do I fall into? Because that thankfulness and that joy and that reality of a living Christ is dimmed. How many is need a fresh revelation of Christ risen and alive? Remember again where He brought you from. Remember who it was that came to you. But let's look at her. Christ not risen. Do you know what you read of in John 20 verse 11? When she came to that tomb, they had crucified her Lord. He was dead, laying in that grave. And we are told when she come to that grave and it was empty, that Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. Her heart is filled with grief and emptiness. The only one that had would even reach forth a hand to her. The only one that extended hope to her soul. The only one who had power to deliver is now laying in a grave. He's dead and he's gone. Can you imagine the emptiness and the despair? You know what? Some of you has lived like it. Christ delivered you from those seven devils, and now you live as if He's dead. You stand outside the grave and you're weeping over your Christ. Why doesn't he come to me? Why doesn't he hear me? Oh, I've got a testimony, but now he's dead and he's gone. You live as if he's dead in the grave. Saints of God, wake up. We need that fresh revelation. Jesus Christ is risen. But look at her. Look good and well at that Mary Magdalene. A past testimony, but no present hope. How sorrowful. If Christ be not risen, where is her hope? Where's her future deliverance going to come from? What about tomorrow when all hell comes against her again? Who's going to stand on her behalf? Her husband, man, is gone. What hopelessness. We'll leave Mary there, weeping, hopeless, empty. We'll leave her at the tomb. Let's go on down the road. We come to do two disciples. They're walking on the road to Emmaus. As they walk along, they've heard many things. Heard many things. And it says that as they walk their communion together and they're reasoning with their own faculties, they're reasoning, trying to work all these things out. It says they were sad. They were sad in heart. Do you know why? It says in Luke 24, again, verse 21, this is what they say, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. We really hoped he was the Christ. We really hoped he would redeem Israel. They walk along and they're reasoning with all their own faculties. How often do we do it, saints of God? We're reasoning out the word and they said, and it's 3 days since. If he was going to arise, it would have been today. You see, it's too late. Where is his promise of his coming to me? Where is his promise of a real Christ coming to me on the third day? You know what that third day speaks of? All the fulfillment of his promises and of his word towards us as the saints of God that have been washed and saved by his blood. This resurrection speaks that he'll always be faithful. He'll always come in time. He'll always deliver at the 11th hour. But here they are walking, reasoning, trying to understand the scripture, filled with sadness. Let's leave them there. There they go walking down the road. No Christ to come to them. He's not risen, saints. He's not risen, saints. No one to make their heart glad. No one to open up their understanding of the scripture. They're left to their carnal mind. Saints of God, what despair if this Christ isn't alive this morning. Let's go on down the road a bit. To the 12 disciples. And we know from scripture he met with them several times over those 40 days. Over the 40 days after his resurrection, he met with them many times. Many, many times in different ways. But let's look at these 12. It says in John 20, verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. These are Christ's chosen leaders. These are the men upon whom should have rested the great burden of nations of the world. These were the men to proclaim the reality of this message. But what message do they have? Here they are. Christ is dead. Christ has died for them. Christ has stood in their place and taken the wrath of God, but he's dead. That's what Christ done on the cross. There he is dying, suffering, a savior in name, but he's dead in the grave. Are we to take an empty message? No Christ working with us, no Christ going with us. And we're told the doors were locked. They weren't in an upper room seeking for fire to go to the nations. They are locked behind closed doors in fear. Fear fills those men's heart, not boldness, not fire, not the Spirit of God. They're there in fear, locked behind the doors, fearing for their life. That's where you see the 12 apostles. That's where they would have stayed, in a place called Jerusalem, bound by fear. No Christ to commission. No Christ to raise them up and send them forth. Do you know that it was during his resurrection? Every time you read of the Great Commission, go and preach this gospel. Go ye into all nations. Go preach to every creature. Do you know who it was said that? It wasn't Christ on the cross. It wasn't just Christ walking on this earth. It was a resurrected Christ. Saints of God, hear me. If Christ be not raised from the dead, there's no great commission. There's no proclamation. There's no commission to go tell every creature. There is no commission. All you have is a bunch of scattered disciples locked in a room for fear. There is no commission. Then there's no Pentecost. There's no upper room. All you have is them locked in that room in fear. There's no Pentecost. Do you know when he made all the promises about tarry until? As a resurrected Christ. As a resurrected Christ. No tarry until. No promise. I will endue you with power. No promise that I'm going to empower you and you will be a witness. Do you know what you get? Peter, James, John, Thomas, all of them locked in a room for fear. That's what would have happened if Christ be not raised. Take a good look at it, saints. If he isn't raised this morning and in our midst this morning, that's what you have. Let's keep walking down the road. Here's Peter. Peter specifically. Remember what happened to him. He's a shipwrecked preacher. That's what you've got without Christ risen from the grave. You don't have a mighty anointed man. You've got a shipwrecked preacher. A failure. Saints, I hope this is dawning on you. It says in Luke 22, and immediately, while he yet spake, that is Peter, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crew, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. You've got a man who's failed as Christ. You've got a man who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You've got a man who says, though all leave you, I won't leave you. You've got a man who couldn't even speak to a wee girl and say, I love this Christ. He died for me. He couldn't do it. What do you have is a man who's failed. Fear again binding his heart. Can't even witness to a wee girl. And he weeps bitterly. He's failed his Lord. Failed his master. That's all you have without a resurrection. That's all you have without a Christ coming to indwell you and live through you and speak through you. Look a wee bit just down the road. It says in John 21, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and they entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. This is what Peter is without a resurrection. Oh, this great man that we talk about and we preach about, that man of Pentecost, that man that proclaimed the gospel. Oh, no, you've got a man who weeps bitterly in failure and he can't even witness to a wee girl and he walks back to his net, that which Christ called him away from, not what he left behind at the call of God, and he goes back to it. You know, some of yous are like that. Some of yous are forgotten that Christ is living now. He called you away from your nets and you've gone back to your nets. What he told you to do, where he sent you, you aren't this morning. If I was you, I'd weep bitterly, like Peter. Peter goes back to his nets. What do the rest say? He says, we're all going with you. Leaders, preachers, those in influence, you best be careful to follow the Lord. You best be very careful to follow the Lord. If God has called you to a task, you best walk with him. There is consequences. You know, I said to Duncan once, Duncan could stand and testify to you there, not that long ago, how God was dealing, God was calling. And he'd be the first to testify, so I hope you don't mind me saying. And I know he had a brother who witnessed God in his face, as we say. And he well got in his face. And one of those nights I was on the phone to him. I said, Duncan, you know what? If God's hand's upon you, you're a very dangerous man. And he was ill in hospital at the time, seriously ill. I said, God will wreck your boat like Jonah, just to get you back. God will wreck that boat. And see, anyone in that boat, they're in a dangerous place around you. See, if you're sitting here and you're disgruntled and you've gone back to your own ways and fighting the will of God, I don't want to be around you. God just might wreck your boat in order to get you to Nineveh. Let's leave Peter there. He's gone back to his fishing. He can't even fish anymore. They fished all night. Great fishermen. Can't even catch anything. You know, some of yous, if you don't follow hard after Christ, and you go back to your nets, whatever that is, and I'm not just talking about ministry and work. I'm talking about your whole walk with Christ. Just doing what he's called you to do. You can go back and it won't be how you left it. You'll labor all night and those nets will be empty. Let's look at another one. Thomas. His actual name means twin. And Didymus, that he was nicknamed, means twin. He was a twin like the Bubbas. I don't know who his other twin was. I don't know what happened to him. But maybe one of you used to come and tell me if you know what happened to the other Bubba. That's a challenge for the two Bubbas. That's their homework. Find the other Bubba. But Thomas, let's look at him. We're still walking down this roadway. The pathway of no resurrection, of Christ laying in a grave dead, or his body stolen by grave thieves. This is all we have, saints. This is all we have. Our religion is vain and empty. Our hope is gone. Our preaching is vain. Your faith is vain. But then so many are quite happy not to have a risen Christ, to carry on the ritual of religion. So many. Why they do it, I don't know. But it says of Thomas, John 11, then after that saith he to the disciples, this is after Christ appeared to the others. And remember, see when Mary come back and told the disciples and the other women and those two on the road to Emmaus, they all come and told the 12 disciples. Do you know those disciples would not believe? Every report they heard, it was only a vain rumor. And they said, we do not believe. See, we need a real experience of Christ. You can't lean on another man's testimony or experience. You must find this Christ real this morning, saints. If you don't know he's alive and living in your heart, I'm telling you, don't leave this place. I'd be weeping bitterly just to meet with him. If you're going back to that net, I'm telling you, you need to meet with him afresh. If your heart's filled with despondency and sadness and your Christ is dead in that grave, not answering your prayers, not coming to you, not encouraging your soul, you need to meet with him afresh at this altar. Look at Thomas. So he goes, then after that saith he to the disciples, the first time Christ met with him, Thomas wasn't there, the eleven were. Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also. I'm reading the wrong verses there. We have seen the Lord, but he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. If Christ be not risen, Thomas would have remained the same. I don't believe there was any arrogance or pride there. He says, I can't believe. I'm not of such a heart that can believe a vain testimony. I need to see him. I need to behold him. I need to feel him. I need to touch him. I need to behold him. I need to know that my Christ is alive. He's walked with me. You know, in earlier days, Thomas was some guy. Just like I began to read there. Do you know, in earlier days, as they all walked, and you remember when the message came to go to Lazarus, and to go to that funeral, that Lazarus was sick, and Jesus said to him, we are going to go. And the others, probably Peter, he was always the first to pipe up. He said, but Master, they are looking to kill you. They want to kill you. They will kill you if we go there. And he says, no, we're going. Do you know what Thomas says? Listen to what Thomas says, the eternal optimist. This is what he says. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. I'm telling you, what an optimist Thomas was. But see that Thomas, see his heart broken. I long to know he's alive. I'm here longing. My mind's filled with unbelief. My heart's overflowing with doubts. If only I could believe that he's here. Are you sitting here and you don't know this Christ? You're lost in your sin. You've heard of religion. You've heard of Christ all your days. And you've never been born again from above. You're dead in your sin. And you've sat in meetings. Maybe you've sat in this church and you've said, I long to know he's real. I long to know, but I can't just believe. I hear Jeff. I hear this one and I hear that one and I hear their testimonies and I listen to Pastor Lee and I listen to Pastor Randy, but to me he's dead. Or you like Thomas just saying, oh, if I only I could behold him. If only I could see him. This Christ. Bye-bye, Thomas. We've got no hope for you. Let's keep walking. We've got to leave Thomas. No Christ, Thomas. Can't offer you any hope, Thomas. Got nothing to show you of a resurrection, Thomas. Thomas, you shall walk the rest of your days in a vain hope. We can speak of religion to you, but there's no living Christ to transform your heart and to prove to you that Christ is risen from the dead. Thomas, pick your head up. Try the best you can. Oh, Thomas, just forget about your troubles. Sure, Thomas, don't worry about it. Thomas walks on down the road. The last one, Paul the Apostle. Well, that's how we remember him. But if Christ be not risen, do you know how we would know of him? Saul the Annihilator of the church. Listen to this. Galatians 1:13. Beyond measure, I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it. What a word. Paul wasted the church. Acts 9:21. Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for an intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? He was a man that brought them bound. He persecuted the church. Again in Acts 22, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. He broke into homes. Look at this man, a religious, devout, good man in the church today. 50 years ago, you wouldn't have got it. But see today, a man's upright, a man's religious, a man's good, not born again. And we'll say he's in heaven when he dies. We'll say, oh, that man was very devout and very good. Mother Teresa, she must be in heaven. Heard it 10,000 times. I'm telling you, that woman died saying any religion will get you to heaven. That's what she said. And yet I've had Pentecostal preachers sit with me and say, if Mother Teresa didn't make it, no hope for us. I haven't had that said once, and I haven't had it said twice. My hope was in Mother Teresa, God help me. If my hope was in you, God help me. Pastor Lee, if my hope was in you, God help me. If your hope is in me, God help you this morning. Our hope and our confidence is in Christ and Christ alone, that he did die on a tree called Calvary. He was buried, and on the third day he rose up triumphant over hell. I'll show you, Paul, without a resurrection. You see a man wasting the church, persecuting the church. You see him breaking into homes, ripping parents apart. Those children are weeping in the corner, and he drags their mother out, has them bound and carried off to prison. Oh, but he's doing it in the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, it's not very long, saints. I'm telling you, the Charismatic Church of America will be doing it to you. I said to someone just this week, I said, see, if persecution broke out tomorrow in Ireland, I know a few preachers would hand my name in very, very quickly. It won't be the Pope doing it. It won't be Islam doing it. It'll be a few Pentecostal preachers. I ain't joking. I am really not joking. I can assure you, and there's witnesses in this room would fully persuade you of that. Paul, the persecutor. Saints, all we see is a scattered church. You know what Paul would have done? He would have pursued on that road to Damascus. No Christ. Christ is not risen from the dead. Nothing to deter such a man. No one to break in such a man. You argue with him, I think you'll die. You try to persuade him from scripture, you're heading to a prison cell. But I see him riding on that horse for Damascus, but there's no Christ to stand in the way. Not small flock. Where Ananias is and many other believers, they're gonna be fallen upon by the sword. That man is gonna go to Damascus, and the rest of his days, he's gonna breathe out threatenings against the church with anger and hatred and venom. That was his life breath. That's what the Bible says, breathing out threatenings. It means to inhale. Every breath he inhaled was against the church. I'll show you where no resurrection is. That man would have died of old age, gone to his grave, persecuting the church, hating the church, ruining the church. Let's leave Paul there. That's what you have without a resurrection. We've got Mary outside a tomb weeping. We've got Thomas bound by doubts and fears. We've got those disciples debating, arguing. We've got a church locked in a room for fear. No power over the Roman Empire. No power against Jewish religion. That's all you have without a resurrection. Saints, that's it. It's empty. All your loved ones that have died, they're gone. You'll never see them again. But saints of God, that isn't how it was. On that third day, up from the grave, he arose with a mighty cry. I'm telling you, what a triumph, saints. There was a mighty earthquake. The angels from heaven descended to first proclaim his resurrection. And all came to know that Christ is risen from the grave. This Christ is alive this morning. I tell you, when Mary went down to that grave, her heart's weeping and broken with sadness, and she looks in there. She sees two angels. She sees the clothing folded nice and neatly. And they say, go and tell his brethren, because he goes ahead of you to meet them in Galilee. I'm telling you, he isn't dead in a grave. Do you know what the Bible says about Mary? It says about her that Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? There was someone to come to wipe away those tears. Only Christ can do that this morning, saints. You might be weeping in your heart. I'm tired. Christ will come and wipe the tears away this morning. I do have a message this morning. I do have a hope for you this morning. Christ comes there and says, why weepest thou, woman? Whom seekest thou? Who are you seeking this morning? Who are you seeking this morning? She says, she supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She would have been happy with a dead body. If that's all there is, that'll suffice. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni. Rabboni, which is to say, master. One mention of her name. I'm tired. Do you hear him speaking to you this morning? I don't mean with physical ears. I don't mean a voice resounding. Is the Spirit of God bearing witness? Do you believe the written word of God? Is he saying, come unto me all ye that are weak and heavy laden. Bring your broken heart unto me and I'm going to fill your cup afresh this morning. I'm tired. I will fill you afresh. I'll renew your faith afresh. Mary, you can believe in me. Be at peace in your soul. That's what he said to Mary. Again, says in Matthew 28, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre. I would be departing quickly. We do have something to run with here this morning. Before you meet Christ, you can be walking along, looking down. But one meeting with him, you're going to gird up your loins and you're going to run with the message. He is risen. Weren't we singing it this morning? He is risen. I'm telling you, sons of God, daughters of God, arise again in this hour. He is risen from the grave. He no longer lies in a grave dead. That was Mary's message. Listen to what it says. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. You mark the teaching of this resurrection. Everywhere he appears as the resurrected cry. His disciples are filled with great joy. Great joy marks the saints that have met with the risen Christ. If you're burdened, if you're heavy laden, and I know there's sorrows to go through. I've cried many tears. But I'm telling you, there's a joy that passes all understanding. There's a joy that he'll fill your heart with, even amidst the sorrow and the sadness. He'll give you a joy that all hell cannot quench, saints of God. Let's look at the two disciples. And as Christ spoke to them, he beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, things concerning himself. He was preaching to them. He brought them to scripture. Here's a resurrected Christ. He's risen up. He doesn't do a miracle for them. He doesn't do a sign. Do you know what he does? All he does is start opening up the Word of God. This is what the church today has lost. They've cast aside the Bible. Christ, a resurrected Christ, comes walking with them. They don't know who he is. They don't realize. All this is a man speaking. But see, as he opens the scriptures concerning himself, their hearts begin to burn. Their hearts begin to burn. I'm telling you, there's a whole church out there. Like I said a few weeks ago, we went to that. Those people not meeting, they need to hear from God. And all that man was tell foolishness upon foolishness. There was no message. No message. They cast aside the word of God. They cast it aside. Those two disciples. And it says, as they walked along, their eyes were open. He broke bread with them. And their eyes were open, they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scripture? What's Christ doing this morning? All he'll do is open the scripture. What's he going to do tomorrow morning as you open your Bible and read and say, oh God, speak and minister to me. Him, the living Christ, will open the scripture. A dead Christ can't do that, saints of God. I'm telling you, how many meetings have I walked into, even this week, and I'm telling you, I know God spoke to me. He spoke to my heart. I know that he spoke from on high. A word and season as I waited before him. I needed that word, saints. I needed a word from heaven, and he did speak because men stood in the pulpit and were faithful to hear him and to speak for him and to open up this book in the pulpits. God deliver us from evil and wicked men that are twisting this book. God deliver us in this hour. It's the only hope of the church. The 12 disciples, I'm telling you, Christ met with those 12 disciples and he said, behold, it is me. Feel me, touch me. I am alive. There's Thomas the next time. And he goes, Thomas, 1 week later, and he comes walking into their midst and he says, peace, peace unto you. Don't be sad. And I'm telling you, those disciples got happy. They did get happy. There is a resurrected Christ. Your situation might be impossible, but I tell you, there's one coming walking on the waves of the sea that says, peace be still. There's one that'll command the devil. There's one that has all authority in heaven above and on earth below. And he's a risen Christ. He's not dead, saints. And I know we believe that. But I'm telling you, we act like he's dead. Peter, on that sea, you've labored all night, no fish, but one comes walking. See, dead religion can't do that. Dead religion can't intervene. But I tell you, that Peter, as he's there sad, guilt-ridden, bound, forsaken, deserted, back to his nets, Christ comes walking. And he says, cast your nets on the other side. And of course, they're fishermen. They know we've labored all night, Master. We have labored all night. We have toiled with our hands. And he says, just you listen to me. I'm a resurrected Christ. I ain't dead religion. I'm one that has all power and authority. Just you listen to me. Just you follow me and all shall be well. They threw the nets out. They could hardly pull the nets in. And their nets didn't break. That was a miracle. And then he prepares them a meal at a fireside. Do you know he prepares us meals? And he says, come and dine. Come and dine with the risen Christ. Come and feast with me. Come here. Come and sit. I've prepared you a meal. How many times has he prepared you a meal in this church? How many times has you come and sat in these aisles and he's laid before you a table in the midst of your enemies? He's plemished a table. And he says, daughter, son, come and dine with me. I'm not a pastor. It's not a preacher preparing. I prepared a meal for you. Come and dine with me. Come here. Sit with me. Drink with me. Sup with me. Let me come in. Let me come and dine with you. And do you know what he said to Peter? Here's the shipwrecked preacher. Shipwrecked preacher. He says, Peter, feed my sheep. Oh, but Master, I thought it was over. Oh, no. Feed my lambs. I'm commissioning you again. Oh, you've been through the deep waters. You've walked through the trials. Peter, come and dine with me. You need to eat with me. You need to sup with me. And I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to commission you. Peter, I am alive. I walk with you. I talk with you. And I commission you afresh. Go and feed my sheep. Go and feed my lambs. I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. One last one, just as we close here. Paul was called Saul. He didn't annihilate the church. He didn't die an angry man. So he rode not roadway to Damascus. Listen to what he testified. At midday, O king, he was speaking to the king here. I want to testify to some kings. I'd love to get my hands on some leaders and some kings and some presidents and say, this Christ is real and he is alive. Look unto him. Listen to what Paul testifies. I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise. What a but. I do like the buts of scripture. He said, this is what you have done to me and to my body. But Paul, rise up. Rise up. He says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness unto light and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith God is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. Saints of God, it didn't die in an empty upper room where they were in fear. It didn't end with a woman weeping at a graveside. I tell you, there was a church that was given a promise by one that was risen from the grave. He said, tarry until I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit of God. And when you do, go preach this gospel to every nation, every creature. Go into your workplace and preach this gospel. Go into your home, because you aren't going alone. I am the risen Christ. Where you go preaching this gospel, I am going to walk with you. I'll do signs and wonders. Hard hearts that are stubborn and rebellious, I'm going to open those hearts and they will believe in me. I'll meet with you with a real fiery Holy Ghost. I'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. You won't be in fear. You won't be afraid, but you're going to have a boldness, not of you, not of your natural upbringing, not of some preacher in a pulpit, but Christ is going to be with you. He'll go forth with you, and where you go, I will go. I listened over the past week. We met Monday night there in that room. We had believers from the Philippines, from Pakistan, from right across the world, from Poland, even from Ireland, all over the world, those nations, and one after another. And during that week, they stood one after another, and they said, this is what Christ is doing in Pakistan. And another stood and said, this is what Christ is doing in Poland. Another one stood, and he said, this is what Christ is doing in Thailand. I'm tired, it's true, Christ is alive. He's still saving lost souls. He's still building his church. If Christ had died and remains in that grave, he couldn't build his church. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We do have an eternal hope one day. One day, if they ever leave me in a grave, I'm telling you, just you hang around a while, and I'm going to be back with a new body. I'm telling you, my voice is going to resound again. I'll sing his praises of a risen Christ. Stand with me. I'm telling you, saints of God, he is not dead. He is not in a grave. He's not nailed to a cross this morning. He's not in the arms of his mother. He is risen at the right hand of the Father. How do I know? We used to sing that old song. What's the words? I know. Just trying to think of that verse. But we used to sing, he lives, you ask me how. I know he lives. That's the word, trying to get it. You ask me how, I know he lives. And I always used to wonder as a kid, the next line goes, he lives within my heart. I might ask you might not be able to give me theology, doctrine, or a certain scripture, but I tell you, if you ask me how I know he lives within my heart this morning. He's pumping in this breast. He is walking with me, speaking to me, and encouraging me. 10,000 times 10,000, I would have fallen flat in my face, but my Christ is faithful. These altars are open. Meet with him in your pew. But saints of God, don't leave here the way you come in. He is risen from the grave. Ask him this morning. Open up the scriptures. Settle my heart. I want to meet with this Christ. I don't want to be outside that sepulchre. I don't want to be found in an upper room filled with fear. Some of you might be fearful this morning, but see, if this Christ gets a hold of you, you'll go to nations. You'll go to preach it. You'll go to places. You'll turn your home upside down. Some of you have seen it. Just Christ moving in your family. That wasn't you, saints of God. Who saved your family? Who's moving in your family? I'm tired. It's not you and your arguments and your words. It's the living Christ. Oh, what great things will he not yet do? These altars are open. We're meeting with the living Christ. I'm not asking you to respond to my message. I'm asking you to come by faith and meet with Christ. Let him replace the tears, the weeping, the burden. burdens with the joy of the Lord. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength, that as a church you might rise up and build again. Oh, hallelujah. He is alive. Oh, my Christ is alive this morning. He's a Savior. He's a deliverer. He's an encourager. He'll endue you with power. He'll save you from the enemy. He'll deliver you of the fears. Oh, he does live. Oh, praise him, saints of God. Oh, praise him, saints of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.